make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
During Thanksgiving, the percentage of long-distance travel increases by 54% while we travel to see friends and family. It's important that we keep health in the forefront of our minds. My next guest is Jane McAllister, and she's going to give us some tips and points on how to stay healthy during our travel season. Jane, thanks for coming on the show. What's the number one thing you advise clients to do when they are on the road to stay well?
Well, the number one thing is definitely eating healthy, because that's what I'm always asked. What should I be eating? And of course, ideally, anybody wants to eat healthily wherever they are. But there are certain precautions that you can take when you're traveling to make sure that you can keep up a healthy eating regime. Part of the issue is that travel is often used as an excuse for anyone to detract from any healthy eating program that they might be on. So planning ahead is hugely important when it comes to eating healthily.
Yes, they do love to use that as an excuse. Doc, I'm sorry, I travel for business. It's really hard. I go out for dinner with clients every night and have a steak and two martinis. It's as if they leave their home, somehow magically their willpower and ability to think evaporates.
You're exactly right, and calories don't count, and I call it menu fog. You know, people go into a restaurant with a really good intention, and then they open the menu, and suddenly, you know, steak with a pepper cream sauce jumps out at them, and so does chocolate cake, and they think, well, it doesn't really count, I'll have it.
So what can they do if they're staying in a hotel for many days, and are there, or let's say they're somewhere for a week? What can they do in their room particularly?
Well, it's a good idea to contact the hotel in advance and ask them to put a refrigerator in the room, or at least, you know, empty the minibar so that you can so that they can use that to keep healthier foods and healthier snacks to hand. They can actually shop locally then at a supermarket or something like a Whole Foods and keep healthier options around. That's the number one, keeping fresh fruit and salads to hand, so that there are times when you don't have to dine out, then you can actually eat the healthier options.
Let's move on a little to if someone is flying across the pond.
Yes.
And they get there and it's the morning and they are still, it's in the middle of the night for them. How do you tell your clients to combat jet lag?
There are a couple of things that are really key, and, you know, obviously you can tell from my accent, I'm quite accustomed to traveling across the pond, as it were. The first thing is to get outside as soon as possible. That really helps with your circadian clock and helps you adjust to the local time. But the single most effective cure for jet lag that I've come across is what's called grounding. And it sounds a little bit woo-woo, but it is, I'm told, scientifically proven. And grounding is literally standing outside, either on sand or on grass, for 10 to 20 minutes. Now, the scientific basis of that is that the negative ions in the earth balance the positive ions in the body, and that when you've been on an airplane for a long time, that connection has been lost. But it's really good. It's the best way to reset the body chemically, as it were. And I tried it in Italy last year. I was doing everything else that I knew, but was still not getting a good night's sleep. And I tried the grounding, and it was almost instant. That night, I slept a full night, and I've done it ever since. Phenomenal.
Interesting. I'm gonna do my own research on that one before I take your word for it that grounding is the way to go. Currently, I'm a Ambien at night and a Provigil in the morning to ground myself to the new environment, but it seems a lot better for my liver if I was to just get outside and stand barefoot. But what do you do, Jane, if it's the middle of the winter? Does the grounding still work if you're standing in slush in
you've just got to be brave Oxford and find Circle. You've got to find a patch of grass somewhere and clear the ice away. And I always joke that, you know, you have to look for a patch that doesn't have dog poop either.
Lovely. So what about sleep? We seem to have lost Jane for a moment, but I think she'll be back in a second. We're talking about different things you can do when you are traveling this season to stay healthy, to stay well, to avoid jet lag. And we'll see if Jane comes back to us in a minute. But while we're waiting, another thing you can obviously do is try to adjust to the new... Jane is back. Thank God.
Happened.
Jane, we lost you.
I know.
So let's keep talking about things you can do to stay well during traveling. What are you hearing from your clients about their rational and irrational Ebola fears? Anything we can do besides avoiding flying out of Liberia or the west coast of Africa?
It's a great question, and most
you can
of
avoid
my clients,
it if you like.
Oh, I mean, most of my clients, actually, nobody's really brought it up. People are traveling on business and tend to feel that they're a little bit above this stuff, which could be a dangerous attitude to have. Most of them are carrying all kinds of wipes with them and wiping down everything that's within their vicinity, you know, practically having to restrain them from doing it to the person next to them. But, you know, all jokes aside, because it is a really serious matter, what can one do? You're sitting in a tin can for however many hours with recirculated air that's messing your body up enough as it is internally.
Right. So I guess the key is to... don't go into the bathroom with someone with suspected Ebola and share any bodily fluids. We'll leave it at that.
Exactly.
What about how about hydration? How important is it to stay hydrated when you're 35,000 feet above the ground?
It's the most important thing you can do. The average passenger actually loses up to 2 pounds of water during a 3-hour flight. And, you know, they might think, oh, this is great, it's instant weight loss, but typically they're getting off the plane feeling bloated anyway. There's the issue of humidity on a plane. You know, it's anywhere from 8 to 12%, but it can actually drop as low as 2%. And then the longer the flight, then the drier it gets.
Got it. So, you know, what's the ideal hydration if you don't have IV fluids?
1 8-ounce glass of water for every hour in flight.
Interesting. Never heard that one. That's a good one. So,
challenges, though, and that is, let's say you're in the back of the plane. You know, you're lucky if you get one drink thrown at you during the course of the flight. If you're in first class, it's different.
Right.
You're getting everything you ask for. So how do you keep your water intake up? And I suggest purchasing a water bottle with a built-in filter, because you can take it through security empty. Because I've heard stories of people trying to take regular water bottles through and emptying them, but they get confiscated. But these particular bottles that you can purchase for about $12 for a 22-ounce bottle, they have the built-in filter. Once you've gone through security, you can fill them from a water fountain.
We're out of time. Where can people go to learn more of your health and wellness tips?
JaneMcAllister.com, and I'm Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, and McAllister is M-C-A-L-L-I-S-T-E-R.
Excellent. And just one last quick 5-second tip to tell people, if you could.
Keep moving. Exercise. Don't use travel as an excuse not
to. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends. And stay well.